morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leaped for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed in a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant, and behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please be seated. As we celebrate the visitation today, we look at Mary going to Elizabeth, and Mary is in the midst of a bunch of trouble. It may not look like it because we celebrate these words. We sing these words to proclaim our own joy in the salvation that the Lord has given us. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And she certainly was telling the truth and filled with joy. And she was with somebody who understood that too. Because Elizabeth, her cousin, was also miraculously with child and expecting great joy and celebration. She who had been called barren was now going to be the mother of the greatest man born of woman except for Christ himself, using the Lord's own words. What a joy they had to celebrate and share. But there were other voices too. We know that some 30 years later, they were still openly and publicly accusing Mary of having committed adultery and saying that Jesus was the product of an adulterous relationship. It seems like no matter where he went, people threw that false accusation at Jesus because no one wanted to believe that that which was conceived in Mary's womb was born of a virgin. It even took an angelic visitation to convince Joseph, that holy and pious man, that Mary had not done something untoward. And while this is in the realm of absolute speculation, at least I know from the time when I was a young man, it used to be quite common when a young woman was expecting a baby that was a little bit embarrassing to the family, that they would send her away to spend some time on the uncle's farm or visiting relatives in a different state or taking a break year or something like that until the child was born so that they didn't have to walk around every day exposed to the looks of the people around them who have already judged that they had done something wrong. As I said, that accusation would still be thrown about 30 years later when Jesus was talking about being children of God and slaves to sin. And they slapped back, "At least we're not children born of adultery." after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. Even still, that didn't stop that whole accusation from going out. There was a book published by the enemies of the church called the Toledoth Jesu, which was written effectively to tell the story of how Mary had been with a Roman soldier and thereby conceived the child Jesus, who was walking around demon-possessed and doing all sorts of horrible things, claiming to be the Son of God. The devil always takes you there, and he always has the voices. We have those voices today, and now they're being reported as news. Somebody says something, and the Twitter crowd goes crazy. They start saying, "You can't say this. How could you do this? How could you say this?" And the more vile the comments, the more wretched the comments by those who would, in many ways, remain anonymous in their commentary, the more it gets reported, to the point now that everything that we say or everything that we do seems to be judged by the reaction of the mob. Those same people who were calling out, "Crucify Jesus." Mary, although still a young girl, has given us a pattern that we should follow. "My soul magnifies the Lord." This is important because I've got to admit, for years I kind of overlooked that word magnifies because it didn't really mean much to me. It didn't really say much. I wanted to get on to the parts of the word, the parts of the Magnificat that said something. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Surely something was about humility in all of this that I needed to jump ahead to and get to as I reacted to it, but as I've matured a bit as a Christian and life has taken me down some different roads, I realize just how important that very first word is, at least in Greek. Magnifies. God is bigger than all of those things which are tearing us down. And our problem is that we've allowed our anxieties, our hardships, our sorrows, the things that we're facing, the voices of those who would accuse us, the things that we fear, to be much louder and much bigger in our lives than the voice of the Lord. It's a very common mistake. It's one that the Lord speaks against in the first commandment. It's one that the psalm that we read together speaks about, as it says that I'm going to magnify you in the presence of all the gods. There are no gods, but we sure do make them, don't we? We turn all sorts of things that aren't gods and don't stand up to being gods into gods in our lives. Anything we fear, love, and trust more than the true God becomes a god to us. But Mary, in the midst of all the clamor, Mary, in the midst of all the fears, Mary, in the midst of all the anxiety, saw nothing bigger than Jesus. We see the same thing with Peter as he's walking out on the water. Did you notice what it was when Peter was walking on the water in the Gospel of Matthew along with Jesus that made him start to sink? When he saw that the wind and the waves were bigger than Jesus, he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Our problem is so many things become bigger than the promises of God. And Elizabeth is quick to point this out. Blessed is she who believes there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord had promised her. Right there in that scripture reading. It wasn't enough that it was going to happen, that the baby was going to be born. The Lord was going to do it. He was going to have his way. He was going to bring the Savior into the world, and he had picked the right vessel to carry his child. And yet, not everybody believed. And Mary's escape from all of it was not that she got to spend time with Elizabeth, but that the Lord was magnified beyond all the din and all the crowd and all the shouting and all the voices and all the fears. and all the changes of plans and all the longings and everything else that would cast her down. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He didn't want things to be the way that they were going to be for me. So He's looked with mercy upon the estate of His humble one. We need to do much more of this. As an act of praise, as an act of righteous activity, but as an act of clinging to our salvation too. We've been locked away, we've been sheltered in place, we've been kept 6 feet apart, we no longer really know what human touch is outside of the immediate members of our family. And in part that causes us depression, anxiety, fear, and all sorts of troubles. Because we were made to be together with those who would remind us to believe the promises of the Lord, to uplift and uphold one another, not just as we're flat behind some screen somewhere, but as we're gathered together to face His altar, to sing His praises, to speak His name, to rehearse what He's told us, and the generations and generations and generations who have been saved and loved and uplifted and upheld by that word. As I preach today, because of social distancing, because of the shelter-in-place orders and so on, there are three other people in this room. But it's not just us. Because we stand shoulder to shoulder with those who have endured perhaps different but similar things from age to age, and who have found their hope and their peace in trusting the promises that the Lord has said would be fulfilled in our lives, and to look in our specific days and times and moments for how those would be fulfilled. St. Paul reminds us, as he's enduring his own threats, his own challenges, his own isolation, his own hardships, his own virtual meetings by letter, "He who began by sacrificing his son for you, how will he not also with him give you all things?" Are we afraid? It's the fear of another God. Because ours has chosen to be merciful. Are we anxious? It's because we've been focusing our attention and our meditation on all the things that are unworthy of the promises of God. Do we fear the future? It's because we trust our own strength to provide for our days and our seasons instead of Him who provides for us. From His cross, from His resurrection, from His ascension, proceeds great and precious promises to which we cling and for which we gather together and pray and sing and join in the company of those that the Lord has given us to lift up and to be lifted up by. The communion of saints throughout the ages. "Therefore, having been surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him took on the cross, scorning its shame. And that joy was that you would be gathered to Him." This is the act of gathering, not some future distant hope, but now. Here, as you hear these words, as you hear Him speak to you, He calls, gathers, and enlightens His whole holy Christian church on earth. He makes His promises and keeps them. He forgives our sins and opens our eyes from the sleep of death and gives us resurrection. Blessed are he and she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord promised. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Hannah Scholl, who served the Lord in Taiwan. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.